year is coming to an end, so I want to just do something. I want to share a series just for a few days. For the next 3 days, we're just going to pray and study. We're going to pray and study, all right? We're going to study and pray. And I wanted to share what I call them, praying to change the seasons. All right, that's personal season, not the season outside, but your own personal season. The prayer so as to change your seasons. I don't know how to put it easily. So that's what I want to teach on, and we'll pray. And it's because the year is ending. You know, oftentimes people get to the beginning of a new year. There's this magical day, 31st of December. We'll call it what? Crossover. Uh-huh. All right. Sorry to disappoint you. There's nothing magical about that day. Amen? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right? It's just a change in calendar. And I'm not saying that things, seasons can change, all right? They do change, and they can change in a day. Are you getting my point? Yes, it can happen. Can a nation be born in one day? The Bible was saying, it said, before Zion travailed, she brought forth. People used to say that, look, you have to travail and bring. No, he said before. That is, before they went into birth pangs, the child was out, all right? So it can happen that things change overnight. But there's no way of making sure it's the 31st. So people often focus so much on a new year is coming, therefore, things should be different for me. And it's an assumption. It sounds nice, but it's purely what? An assumption. Do you understand my point? The Lord didn't promise it, and it's good to go to church to pray. It's good to go to church to celebrate, you know, to watch fireworks. Do you understand? Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice fireworks. Fireworks display. It's very nice. It's good to go to church to sing and pray. That one is always good. Whether you do it on the 1st, whether you do it on the 31st of December, or the 15th of January, on the 28th of August, or even if you don't do it on the 32nd of of March, once it is praise and thanksgiving, it's always good. Are you getting my point? If you do it at night, or you take the whole morning to do it, it's always good. So you can never say anything negative about that. But what I just don't want is for people to have too much hope, all right, in the fact that the year is changing, therefore, the things must change. And oftentimes we see, of course, most churches do it. We declare a year of this, a year of that, a year of this, and there are always years of positive things. Which, again, listen, don't get me wrong, I'm not critical of it. It's very good. It's good for people's minds to be lifted, for their hopes to be, you know, raised up. It's good for somebody to be upward looking. What I'm just trying to say is that, see, different people have different seasons in life. Do you understand that? Yeah, we have different seasons. And the change of our seasons are not tied to the change of the year. And interestingly enough, the school calendar doesn't recognize the change of year. They change their own calendar usually around September. Do you follow my point? So if you're first year this year, January next year, you won't get into second year. It won't say because the year has changed, now I'm in year two. Are you getting my point? Your age does not change because the year changed. Your age changes when your own birthday, you know, comes, all right? And very few of us were born on January 1st. If you're born January 1st, can I see your hand? If you're born in January at all, let me see your hand. Okay, one person. All right, so we have one person and Bishop pointing at somebody else, all right? I can't see the person he's pointing at. But the point is that, I mean, some of us were born in April, some were born in July, different days of the year. Are you getting my point? And that's when your age changes. So there's nothing magical about January 1st. Are you getting my point? Now, seasons in life change for different reasons. And that's why I'm talking about praying to change seasons. All right? Because there are two ways to look at it. There are seasons that change because God says, this is the season. That's one. And he has set times like that. Again, there are seasons that change because finally you allowed God to change the season. That is, you've been in this particular season for certain reasons. And until you accomplish the reason or fulfill or change the reason why you're in that season is not going to change. So I'm just using the opportunity, all right, because the year is coming to an end and people often put their hopes on the fact that next year will be better. Do you follow? People often put their hopes on it. I'm just using the opportunity because of that, to teach briefly on how we are supposed to pray so that our seasons can change. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Yes, that is the opportunity. Let's not just look at it and say, oh, next year will be better. And I ask people all the time, why? Why should it be better? Because you attended a crossover service? No, that's not good enough. I've been in church before, and you know, because the church I was in, that they had a nightclub close by. And I still remember, 11-something, one guy came perched beside me. And they were doing everything. We were praying, giving thanks. And they were pray. The man, they said, Happy New Year. The guy just sneaked out of the church and went back into where the boogie was going on. He went back into the, you know, the reveling, the drinking, the womanizing, the partying. But it mustn't be heard that he entered the new year and he was not in church. And I looked as the guy left. I said, oh, foolish Galatians. That was what was in my mind. That this is the foolishness of the Galatians. Somebody has bewitched you. You actually think that because you are in church, when the year changed, your life is going to change. Like somebody said, just because you go to church does not make you a Christian. Just like being in a poultry does not make you a chicken. Being in a garage does not make you a car. So the fact that you're in church when the year changed does not mean your season is going to change. There are laws, all right, that control that, the change of seasons. And I want to read a few scriptures just to start that, all right? One of the ones I like to use so much in this area is the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Let me just start from verse 1, even though where I'm going is verse 5. It says, comfort, O comfort my people, says the Lord. How do you comfort them? By speaking kindly to Jerusalem. He said, call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hands double for all her sins. He said in verse 3, a voice is calling. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Please notice that. A voice is shouting, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Please, I need to lay some emphasis as I'm reading on. Notice verse 1 says, comfort my people, the Lord was saying. And this is how you comfort the people. You will speak. It's what you say to Jerusalem that contains the comfort that she needs. And these are the words. Tell her that her warfare has ended. In Christ Jesus, your warfare has ended. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And that is a matter of fact. Let me explain it again. I've said it again and again. People talk about generational curses, and they are not lying. The problem where they make the mistake is when they don't realize the solution to those generational curses. Are you getting my point? Listen, people have things they inherit. There are problems that people are born into. That's a matter of fact. But I said to us some time ago when I was teaching that they came to the Lord Jesus and said, who sinned that this man should be born blind? And Jesus said, it doesn't matter. How does it matter? As long as this man encounters me, that story is irrelevant. They said, was it him or was it his parents? Jesus said, what difference does it make? Just watch it. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. I mean, he did some things, put clay on the man's eyes. The man went and washed, and he came back seeing. So he turned to the disciples. I'm adding my own words to it now. So what difference does it make now? Who sinned? It will have made a difference if we'll have to get that person to confess and repent. It will have made a difference if that man had to confess the sin of the fathers. It will have made a difference for us to know the genesis of this. He did not say these things didn't come from sin. He just said, what difference does it make? That's what he was saying. He said, is it him or his parents? He said, none of the above. What he was saying is that if the man encounters me, the story is irrelevant of where he began from. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain?
Yes, sir.
Do you follow what I'm trying to explain there? So he said, in effect, he that believes in me has passed out of darkness, all right, death into life. That's a matter of fact. So it's irrelevant where you started from. That's why, as far as God is concerned, the so-called disadvantages of people's lives don't mean anything. Because the day they encounter him, it will be inconsequential. Are you getting my point? That is why God is not so interested in making sure everybody comes from the same kind of background, the same kind of experience. What difference does it make? Whichever different background you come from, no matter how different it is, the day you meet me, all of you are coming to the same level. You came from a very nice and sweet background. The day you meet me, you must count all those things as dung. Do you follow my point? If you want to gain Christ, if you came from a very useless background, thank God you already know it is dung. When you come, you will still encounter me and you will gain Christ because you know those things are useless. So what difference does it make? So he says, speak kindly to Jerusalem. Say to her that her warfare has ended. Please notice that. So that's what I mean. I said, in Christ Jesus, your warfare has ended. Amen. That is all the troubles they have what? They have ended. All the troubles have ended. He said, now, look at verse 3. Even though her sin has been paid for, he says she had received of the Lord's hands double for all her sins. That is, the sin has been accomplished. That is, in payment. He said, a voice is called in verse 3. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. And notice, the warfare has ended. But the Lord has not, it doesn't seem to be manifested yet. So the voice is calling. Even though your warfare has ended, verse 3 says, you must clear a way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. The consequence, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Please notice what I'm trying to bring up from here. You know, it's almost as if it's my pet project now, because that's my, you know, I have pet projects at different seasons. My new one now is to let Christians know that they are not cursed, that they don't need deliverance. Are you getting my point? I need to get you to understand that. He said, your warfare has ended. Amen. Jesus has paid every... You see, they say, you know, I told you once, somebody was saying that if a woman is having marriage problems, that you see that your sister is divorced, your mother, your father kicked out of the house after 15 years of marriage, your auntie is divorced. It is because, now I've heard this, if you go and check the lineage, your great-grandfather was a slave trader and he used to break homes. If you go and check the lineage, what it means is that your grandmother, your great-grandfather took your great-grandmother from another man who was happily married because he had money. And the other family placed a curse upon him. So it is playing now out in the life of his daughters. This night, your deliverance has come. It's a waste of time. I've heard it before. Pastor Bunker, you see those things don't occur? They used to occur until you gave your life to Christ. That's what I'm saying. They used to occur. That was the issue until you gave your life to Christ. I make bold to say it again. If any man and woman be in Christ, that person is a new creature. All things are passed away. I know his great-great-grandfather was a juju priest and he murdered the whole village one night. And that's why his father, and I'm not lying about it, that's why his father never did well in life, 3 generations after. Because indeed God brings to bear the iniquity of the fathers on the sons unto the 4th generation. But there's a problem. The moment that bearing of iniquity hits the Lord Jesus Christ, it stops. Because John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away all the sins of the great-grandfathers, the great-grandmothers, all the murders and the adulteries and the human sacrifices and all the iniquities that they committed. Behold the Lamb of God that takes them all away. I believe it. I believe it. I said, I believe it. Amen. Listen, you will read it in my book. Should I say yes? I said it again. If you want to prosper in life, there are statements you must not ever make if you're a man. And a woman too. But I'm talking about men because I heard men say it. He said, if a girl is from a broken home, don't marry her. Because if you utter that, the poverty of your father is your own. You know the reason. Because the reason why you ever thought you can come out of a background of poverty and walk into wealth is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. True of us? So who's told you that that same Jesus Christ cannot make this young woman become new? Do you get my point? Who told you that that same Jesus Christ cannot make this young woman become new? I said there are statements you make and you are denying your own faith. You get what I'm saying? There are statements you make and what are you doing? You deny your faith. What am I saying? This is my pet project, to let Christians know that you are redeemed. You are redeemed. Amen. Say, Pastor Banky, but you know, I have done 3 businesses and they have collapsed. And they said it is because of a curse. The Bible says it's not true. That's what I'm talking about this evening. It says it's not true. It says your welfare is what? Is ended. That there's something else. You need to clear the way for the Lord in your wilderness. Do you follow my point? There is something else. And that is what? To clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. And that's what I want to explain. That there is something that is still keeping the glory of God from being manifested, which is different from that curse you claim or people told you is disturbing you. Let me just say to you clearly again. Some of the people who keep on propagating this, there are 2 problems they have. One is ignorance. One is they want your money. Some really don't know. Some, that's the business they do. I don't know what I'm saying. Some don't know. Some, that is the only business they do. That's why the church is full. And listen, if you have problems in life as a Christian, because I said we're talking about praying to change seasons, right? The first thing, because that's one I have in my note, we have 3 days on it. So this is the first day. We just look at that. The first thing, first, ask yourself, am I truly a believer or am I not? It's an important question. Is it that I just go to church? I was reading this story. If you buy this week's Newswatch, Bishop Oyedepo's story is the whole of the thing you find in Newswatch, all right, today. So, it was talking about that recently met a woman that explained, he traveled abroad and met the woman that explained the gospel to him when he was a child. Of course, she'd be a very old woman now, but that was the person that explained the gospel to him and explained to him that, listen, because he was born literally in church. His mother went for an early morning prayer meeting. She went into labor and delivered there. So the fact that you were born in church does not make you a Christian. The fact that your mother is very active in church and you've been following her to church, and your mother is a very strong Anglican, you've been following her to church all your life, that's your grandmother, does not make you a Christian. It's only if indeed you have given your life to Christ and you have a personal relationship with him. So that's when, as a small boy, he gave his life to Christ. He met the woman finally after how many decades again? Sometime this year. So sometimes that's the first question people must ask. When we're declaring like this, you are saying to people, indeed, are you a believer or you just go to church? Are you getting my point? That's number one. That's number one. Very important question. Because if the answer to that is yes, let me declare to you again. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. The blood of Jesus indeed was shed, and it has wiped away all the afflictions that you inherited. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is a matter of fact. Then the second thing, which like I said, we have 3 days. Let's just look at this one briefly. I'm going to start with that, all right? We are going to pray. That's a prayer. You review your life. What did I say? Now, let me just talk freely. Let me, because I don't have all the time. There's a reason why people are in seasons. Every season has a purpose. Let me say this to you straight. If you personally have not changed in recent years, there's no reason why your seasons should change. Did you hear what I said? If you haven't changed, there's no reason on earth why your season should change. A story comes to my mind. I don't know why, but maybe it will help somebody. I was in a hospital once. I was working. And we employed a new driver. Now, I used to work at night and on weekends, so I wasn't there most of the day. So a lot of times, I come back and I hear gist of what happened during the day. Listen to this. And the young man, one day, of course, the agreement was you work from a certain time to maybe 5 p.m. And he had nowhere else to go, so after 5, he hung around the clinic. So one day, somebody was rushed in and I think a person died. So they wanted to move the body to the general hospital mortuary. That's in Ikeja. And because he was still around, MD just said, okay. He was the ambulance driver. Are you getting my point? The MD said, okay, take the key and, all right, go, drive. And the guy reminded the MD that it's past 5. I don't know whether I got my point. He told the MD that it's past 5. And I supposed to close at 5. I think it was that evening or next day I came and the gist was on. And he was telling me, that he is very straight, very principled. I was looking at him. The MD didn't say anything. They talked and I think they persuaded him to do it that day. Next time something like that happened again, he explained to them that the time that he's working has passed. So the MD sacked him on the spot. And I know I'm not going to take this. I mean, he so sacked the boy there. What's wrong with you? If your time of working has passed, leave the premises. You understand my point? Yeah, we know the time has passed, but look, we have an emergency at hand and you are present. Now, let me just make a long story short. The following week, they got another driver. Obviously, that other boy arranged it. That one came, stole the bus and disappeared. I don't know why I remember this story. I just don't know why. That one showed up in the morning, reported for work. Then came back very early the next morning. I met the nurse on duty that he's supposed to take the bus for repairs. The clinic ambulance. I took it, drove away, and we never saw it again. Why did I tell that story? That first young man, I don't know where he is now, right? But I can bet a whole year's earning on it that unless he gave his life to Christ, he's very poor now as we are talking. I'm telling the story of 15 years ago. I can beat my chest to tell you that he has an attitude of poverty. The attitude of poverty is the one that says, after how much am I being paid? That is, they believe that I must always earn more than I'm working for. I don't know, get my point. The attitude of prosperity is that I must give more than I'm getting because I'm a giver. Only givers prosper. That giving story is true. The only problem that has been with the giving story that people think that it's just offering basket giving. Offering basket giving is good, amen? But giving is beyond that. It's an attitude. What am I saying? It's an attitude. The point I'm making is this. Listen. If over the last 2 years, your attitude has not changed, ask yourself, why should my season change? Why should it change? Listen, it's not what you do outwardly that God uses to bless you. What you get outwardly is a reflection of where your spirit is and how your spirit is. I've quoted this story again and again, Joseph and Daniel. Pharaoh looked at Joseph. Can we find a one as wise and discreet as this one is? Seeing that in him dwells the spirit of the gods. It's the kind of spirit he had. Concerning Daniel, they said he had an extraordinary spirit. Listen, I want to talk about a review. Another year can pass. The story I learned, that was my first encounter with deep teaching. When Larry Adeboye came to teach in my church in Adoekiti, he titled that message Year by Year. What did I call it?
Year by Year.
Why was it Year by Year? He read from 1 Samuel. And that Hannah went with Elkanah to the temple year by year. And what happened to Hannah? Nothing. Her season did not change until she changed. He called that message year by year. Listen, I've not forgotten it. I'm telling you a story of that was around 1993. Larry Adebo, that man can teach. He has one of the strongest teaching anointings I've ever seen. No relative of E. Adeboye or George Adeboye. Larry Adeboye, that's his name. He's somewhere in Osun State or Osun or Yoda Axis. I'm not very sure now where exactly. But the point I'm making is that he explained to us then. If I remember well, those were the times I began to make some commitments that I still talk about till today. He explained that, listen, it was when Anna made a commitment to God that a priest that God was going to reject, are you getting my point? was even able to tell her what God would do in her life. Because it wasn't about Eli, it was about the change that took place in Anna. Because before then, this was how he taught us then. And I've explained it here and there. You see it in my materials. You heard me say, because these are the foundations of the teachings I give today. Before then, Anna God, they look like, God, why are you allowing Penina to deal with me like this? And God said, you see, you don't understand. My problem is not with Penina. It's with you. The day Hannah changed, her season changed. So he said to us, you can go to the temple year by year. Nothing will change until you change. When I talk about reviewing your life, there's something you have been praying to God for the last 4 years. Every January 1st, you went to one church 3 years ago, and they declared powerfully. And you said, Papa released today. I know seen that this year. That year passed. You went to another church. And another Papa declared heavily, 31st of December. Another year passed. Finally, you left all these old Papas alone. You looked for a young guy who seemed to have the anointing. That was how you entered into this year. It has come to an end again. And you're wondering, Pastor Banky, are you going to do crossover service? No. Usually, 31st of December, I've gone to see either my mother or my mother-in-law. And I don't, most 31st of December, don't be angry. I'm not in church. Most. I'm not saying all. Now, what am I trying to explain? So in case you are waiting for it, sorry to disappoint you. But you have enough prayers to solve all your problems. You've had it already. All those prophetic words, they are still working. Prophetic words like that, they don't get expiry date. You know how I know? They don't get NAFDAC number. Once it doesn't have a NAFDAC number, it doesn't have expiry date. Any day you do the thing necessary, it's reactivated. Do you get my point? That's why I say review. How was I thinking? And that's the most important thing. How I'm thinking. Talk about the issue of husband and wife. That's why, don't worry, it's because of you I wrote the book. Because sometimes, when you hear people talk, when they say the things they really believe, you know that God is not happy. There's a man, I won't mention his name, not if you know him personally anyway. One day I used to tell my wife, they said, this guy is not married. Why is he not married? Why is he not married? Jokingly, I said this like 10 years ago. I told my wife, the way he's thinking, God won't do him that disservice. I'm serious. I said, no, the way he's thinking, I've heard him talk. The way he thinks, God won't allow that. I said, he's too important to God. He will not allow it. Much, much later, people say, I told my wife, you know, I said this thing to you long ago. Why? Because I heard him talk. And I said, with this kind of thinking pattern, and for the kind of office you hold in the body of Christ, I said, God won't allow it. Sometime ago, I heard him say something else, which I said, okay, I told my wife, there is hope now. Because you see, except you change, your situation can't change. And that's the first prayer. We're going to pray in a short while, and we'll close it for the day. It's a review. How have I been thinking? If the reason why you were doing business or looking for work or doing 3 years ago is still the same today, listen, there is a problem. That's why God is not in agreement with it. Because he said here, he said, speak kindly to Jerusalem. Tell her our warfare is accomplished. That all the witches she was fighting, she has won. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. That all the curses he was praying against, he has won. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Explain to her that her warfare is accomplished. All the enemies, you know, you hear me teach all the time. I hate this emphasis on enemies. The reason is because your warfare is accomplished. The enemies lost the battle long ago. Actually, they lost the battle before you were born. That loss became real in your life the day you gave your life to Christ. Are you getting my point? That's a matter of fact. But then, having said that, he now said, now, say to Jerusalem, make a way for the Lord in the wilderness. I don't have all the time to explain it, but the way is simple. We're talking about how people think. Their mindset, you know, in that book I'll tell you about, you know, it comes to my mouth all the time now when I'm teaching, because